In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We will be looking at John 6, but I really feel checked in my spirit that I received two calls between yesterday and today, one from Albuquerque and another from Danvers, and both people need to sell a house or they're going to be foreclosed on. And, you know, I have a feeling that it's much more than two people. I have a feeling that many people are reaching that point that if they don't sell their house, they're going to lose it. Well, let me tell you this. This is how to pray. You say, Father Tom, you can teach us to pray. No. But this is how to pray about selling a house. Lord, please send someone that loves this house. When they get in the house, they say, this is my house. This is the house I want to live in. This is the house I want to have children in, whatever. To pray, rather than to sell your house, to pray that someone would come that loves your house. It's very important. I know there are so many people that are into foreclosure. I know there are so many people that are losing their homes. Jesus promised us our daily bread. We have to hold him to it. Give us this day our daily bread. So that's all I want to say about that, because I have a sense that there's so many more than two that would want to call me about foreclosure and losing their house. So I speak to you directly, because I received two calls within 24 hours. And I speak to you directly. Pray that whoever comes to your house to check it out, that someone would come that really loves it, that feels at home, that this is my house. John 6. After these things, what things? Well, Jesus has just said, search the scriptures, for in the scriptures you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation testifies to Jesus Christ. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation testifies to Jesus Christ. This is so important to know this, that the Bible is not testifying to anyone but Jesus Christ, the whole Bible. And I tell you that you search the scriptures, Jesus said, for in the scriptures you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Come to me that you might have life and have it to the full. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And you know what? When Jesus is in a boat, people are going to start running to the other side, to the place that he's going to. They are desperate. They are desperate. It says a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw the miracles which he did on them, and they were diseased. So a great many sick people followed Jesus to the other side of the Sea of Tiberias, to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A great many people. And I'm going to tell you, most people, if they had not seen the miracles, they had heard about the miracles. Word of mouth is the best thing to bring people to church, that something is happening in my church, and people will come through word of mouth. You know, advertising things is a wonderful thing, but word of mouth is the best advertisement. When people come and they say, I've got to go to this place because God is moving in this place. The word of mouth was about Jesus, that he healed the sick, that he healed the sick, and that he had compassion on the crowds, and that he looked like someone who cared about people that were in distress. Word of mouth caused people to follow Jesus, and it's still that way today. word of mouth is so important. And a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, and they were diseased. And Jesus went up a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So here we see Jesus sitting on the top of a hill, really, top of a hill, and seeing all the people who have come to him. You know, there are about 5,000 men were there, not counting the children and not counting the women. They had followed Jesus because they are diseased, because they need something. It's still that way. We follow Jesus, yes, because he's the Lord, but because we need something. We need him. We need him, or we need a miracle in our life. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, you will everyone at one time or another will need a miracle in their life, and nothing less than a miracle will do. An intervention of God, an intervention of divine providence. You know that everyone reaches that point. You know, you might have a child that's sick and you need an intervention of Jesus Christ to heal that child. Today I want to pray for little Mario, less than a month old or just about a month old, and he's having a little trach put into his throat. Oh, Jesus, I lift up Mario. I lift up the family. I pray, God, that miraculous intervention of God would be in this baby's life, this infant's life. Oh, God, his parents must be suffering terribly. But I pray for the child that you would heal this child, because I know you to be a healer. And you said, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So we bring Mario to you, and you need only to look at him and hold him and heal him. Jesus, do this for the sake of your love, for the sake of your passion, for the sake of your kindness. Do this for Mario. So Jesus goes up a hill, up a mountain, and sat with his disciples. The Passover feast of the Jews was nigh at hand. That means it's spring. We're into the springtime of the year. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company that had come unto him. You know, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had all come to him. How long had they been there, waiting for him to speak, waiting for him to do something? And a whole company had come unto him, and he said unto Philip, one of the apostles, when shall we buy bread that all these may eat? There were 5,000 men, not counting the children and the women. Where are we going to buy bread to feed all these people? And Jesus said this to prove Philip, for Jesus knew what he was about to do. Jesus knew what he was about to do. And what does Philip say? Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread, or 200 denarii worth of bread, is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, we got crowds and crowds of people. There's no bakery that's going to be able to fill these people up. What are we going to do? You know, they've been following you. They're tired. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're hungry. What are we going to do? Jesus, like, no bakery can provide for what they need. Okay, Jesus says. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there happens to be a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what is that for so many? Now, this is Andrew. Oh, this is Andrew. I tell you, this Andrew he loves Jesus so much. He's got a one-track mind to bring people to Jesus. He says, you know, there's a little kid here, and he's got some loaves of barley, like barley loaves, just like Elisha. And he's got a couple of fish.
What is that to so many? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the only thing you need to do is to give Jesus your little. The little that you are, the little that you have. That's the only thing you need to do. Jesus is into multiplication. You have to give him the little that you have. You know, you might say, I don't have much. That's right. I don't have much either. But I give Jesus the little I have. The ability, Lord Jesus, that you've given me to preach the word of God, I give it to you. Sometimes it feels like I don't have anything to say. Sometimes it feels like I can't reach out to people. But Lord, I give it all to you. My few barley loaves, my few fish, that's all I have. I have nothing else. You know, take, Lord, receive all I have and possess. You have given all to me. Now I return it to you. All I need is your love and your grace. That's enough for me. You see, this is what that confuses people. People look to big leaders that seem to have lots of stuff, you know, whoever your big leader happens to be. But let me tell you, as a leader, I only have a couple of barley loaves and a couple of fish. That's all I have. I don't have any more. What I have to do is to give it to Jesus, to say, here I am, I come to do your will. I don't have very much in it. As a matter of fact, some of the barley loaf looks like it's been a little moldy. Oh, Jesus, take everything I have and multiply it, because Jesus is into the multiplication game. He's not into the division game. Jesus always multiplies. He doesn't divide. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Okay, let's think about this. 5,000 men. How many women? We don't know. And women who brought their children because the children were sick and they wanted to see Jesus. How many women and children? I don't know. But I'm sure there's more than 15,000 people there. I'm sure there's more than 15,000 people there. And they only have a couple of barley loaves and a couple of fish. 5,000 men, you know, they didn't count the women and children. They didn't count the women and children, but there are enough people there, my Lord. You can barely see the grass now. They're all seated. The only thing you see are heads, and they're all looking up the hill where Jesus is. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and finisher for our salvation. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. So what does Jesus do? Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples. What does it sound like? It sounds like the Eucharist. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. It's not the Eucharist, but it sounds like the foretaste of the Eucharist. And the disciples to them that were sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. So there was a multiplication of the bread and the fish. I tell you, if you give it over to Jesus, you'll see a multiplication. If you tithe your money, you'll see a multiplication. God knows how to multiply. He is in the multiplication game. You just give him what you have, and he will multiply it. You just say, here I am, I come to do thy will, but he will multiply. The prophets knew that they didn't have enough. Woe is me, Isaiah said. I am a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord. The Lord says, don't let that bother you. He says, because I'm going to send Seraph to pierce your lips with the burning coal, so you'll be able to do what you need to do. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Don't say I'm too young. I called you before you were in your mother's womb, and I appointed you prophet to the nations. Listen to me. My friends, we all don't have enough. That's why we are dependent upon Jesus. We don't have enough. We need him. We need him as our Savior. We don't have enough. No one has enough. You might think, I have enough. No, you don't have enough. I'm telling you that this time that we are in 2012, that we're going to need multiplication. Because I'm telling you, the prices of food have gone up so much, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. We have not yet begun to experience how high food and how high other things are. I'm telling you, friends, we're going to need multiplication, that God multiplies what we have. I tell you the story about Sister Lorette's mother. She was not a Catholic, but she was a firmly faithful follower of Jesus Christ. She loved Jesus with all her heart. She had no husband. He had died. He had died. She had a house full of children. And in the morning, she would feed the children breakfast, but they had nothing to give. Everything had run out. So she said to the kids, "Let us bow our heads and thank God. He has always been faithful to us. We've always had enough food. And today we don't have any, but let us thank him for all that he has given us in the years that have passed." One of the kids, the oldest, you know, start thinking, yeah, let us thank God because our stomachs are empty and we're hungry. And she looked at him with only the look of a mother. She looked at him. And so she bowed her head and she said, "Lord Jesus, I thank you for all that you've given me, all that you've given this family. You've always, always been faithful." With that, there was a sound at the door. The mother said, "Go see who's at the door." There was a loaf of bread in the bushes. Nobody knew that they had nothing. Only God. Where did the bread come from? Maybe some angelic visitor brought the bread from heaven. I have no idea. But I do know Lorette's mother was grateful. And the children's eyes were popping out because they saw God at work. Because they had nothing to eat that morning. I'm telling you, Jesus is into multiplication. He is not into division. He is into multiplication. He knows how to multiply. So there were thousands and thousands of people sitting down. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to them that were sitting down. So the disciples had few loaves. You know, what is this? So many. And as he gave the loaves out, this is important. As he gave the loaves out, they were multiplying. If the disciples said, "There are only three loaves here, I can't do anything." As he gave the loaves out, they were multiplying. I'm telling you, if we reach that point in the United States, I tell you, don't hoard things for yourself. As you give it out, my friends, you will see it multiply before your eyes. God knows how to multiply things. I know that to be true. He is a multiplier. He takes our few fish and our few loaves, and he knows how to multiply. But, you know, I think we're all so set on what we don't have. I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have it. Listen, what do you have? You've got a life. You've got a life. You can give that life to Jesus. You've got a heartbeat. You can give your heart to Jesus. You have a little. You can give the little to Jesus and ask him to do something with it. We're always looking at what we don't have rather than what we do have. You know, I'm no Billy Graham, but you know what? I do the best I can, and God uses me as he wants to use me. I'm not an orator. I'm no orator. But you see, I give him the little that I have, and he uses me. And, you know, the last 2 days I got two calls from Albuquerque because we're on the radio in Albuquerque. And people know that they could call the rectory, that I'd pray with them. Now, you know, if I were in Albuquerque, I should find a priest or a minister that would pray with me. But they knew by hearing my voice that I would pray with them. And they called me from Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's important. You know? And while I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, I don't have much, but I give you what I have. Just use me for these people. You know how to do what you know how to do. I don't know how to do very much. But here I have what I have, and I give it to you. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I tell you, when God multiplies, there's going to be enough fragments to feed more people. When God multiplies, he knows how to do this. People say, you know, they were sharing their lunch. No, no, no. Jesus multiplied what he had to multiply. I'm telling you the truth. There was no sharing of lunch at this place. There was a multiplication of the fish and the loaves. Jesus Christ knows how to multiply. And he fed the 5,000 men, and only God knows how many women and children. And then he says, collect the fragments. And they collected the fragments. They gathered them together, and they got 12 wicker baskets full with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Imagine, 12 wicker baskets full. What are you going to do with this? You know what I'm saying? You take it to Pine Street. You know, when we go and feed the poor, sometimes we don't have a truck, and we need a truck. There's been a couple of times we've not had a truck, and no one that we've called could help us. But you want to know what? God sent us a truck when we needed a truck. They just came like they were on assignment from God. Because God knows we're going to feed the poor today. And we need a truck. And the truck came. God knows how to do things like that. He can multiply trucks if he has to. You know, people say, you know, I just felt moved to come to see you people today. Yeah, you heard from God. You heard from God. It wasn't that you felt moved alone. You heard from God, and you didn't know what you heard, but you came when you were needed. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, the Lord has daily bread for us, and also bread from heaven. The Lord has daily bread for us, and also bread from heaven, the Eucharist. I'm telling you, my friends, this miracle foreshadowed the giving of his body and blood. This great miracle is a Eucharistic foreshadowing. It is. Jesus looked up, and he gave thanks to God. And at Mass, the priest looks up and gives thanks to God, and he takes the bread, and he says, take and eat, for this is my body given up for you now, Jesus said. Given up for you now, Jesus said. Then he takes the wine, and he takes the chalice, and he blesses it, and he says, take and drink. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. It will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, Jesus Christ, before he died, gave us the memorial of his death. This is being shed for you now. At the Last Supper, my friends, what Jesus did with the bread and the wine, it was then that he was offering himself as a sacrifice which would happen the next day. He would continue to offer himself as a sacrifice to the Heavenly Father. That's what he did. And there remained over and above unto them that had eaten
than these men when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did. When the people saw the great miracle, this is the truth, the prophet that should come into the world.
In other words, you know what? This is the prophet. This is Elijah come into the world.
And what does it say? And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself, because he knows his kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. His kingdom will come, you know, through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus knew this was a big temptation. Do you want to be king, or do you want to be king on a cross? I tell you, my friends, he decided that this was a temptation, and he ran off to the hills because he needed to be alone with the Father, because he knew that his life was going to be sacrificial, that he would die on a cross, that he would be buried, that he would rise from the dead. Hallelujah. He rejected the kingship of this world because it would mean nothing to him or his heavenly Father. He came to die. He came to rise. He came to save. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. And he is our Lord. And he is our great King. Our great King, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Listen, between November 8th and 11th, Days of Glory. I want to invite you to the Days of Glory. It's being held at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn in Woburn, Massachusetts. You are welcome. We want you to come. There'll be much worship and praise, as well as we'll be breaking the Word of God, celebrating the Eucharist. There'll be much worship and praise. Bring your dancing shoes. Let me tell you, it's time to praise the Lord. The telephone number is 781-935-8760 for a room at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. 781-935-8760. 781-935-8760. And on the website, daysofglory.org. 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 I thank you for listening. I ask you to keep me in your prayers, that I would continue to give a few fish and the few loaves to the Lord. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.